lazy days of summer have arrived, and with them, the opportunity to travel and see new places.
Maybe you're headed abroad to Paris, the City of Lights, and home of the 2024 Olympics. Or perhaps your journeys are taking you south of the equator to Peru for an epic hike to Machu Picchu, or to Bolivia to see the salt flats of Uyuni.
Or maybe like us, you're finding your travels are closer to home on the trails of a national park, like Mount Rainier, Shenandoah, or Yosemite.
From hikes to hotels to the best spots to eat, Moon Travel has you covered.
From excellent first-hand experience from authors who are local to the areas they are writing about, to wonderful maps and great recommendations, Moon Travel Guides give the reader so much more than other travel guides on the market.
That's right, and we are so excited that this year we are again partnering with Moon Travel.
Through this partnership, through the end of 2024, our listeners can get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when they use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's code GAZE24, GAZE24, for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library, and you actually will not find this deal anywhere else, everybody. Head to our show notes to check it out and see Moon's entire collection of guidebooks.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips, but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings may take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel Guides have you covered.
Head to moon.com and use code GAZE24 at checkout to open up the world of possibilities for your next trip.
Moon Travel, let your heart be your compass, let Moon be your guide. One of my least favorite things in the world when it comes to being out on a trail is hiking in the rain.
Hiking in the rain.
Yeah. I mean, unless, you know.
What is that song?
I took my
Somebody
coat off.
Somebody left their prom dress in the rain.
Oh, I don't know what. I don't know her.
No, someone left their coat out in the rain, right? Isn't that a song?
I don't know, but I know I took my coat off and I stood in the rain. And I'm always crazy like that.
Okay, that was it. That's the line I'm thinking of. No, there's also a song from Greece called It's Raining on Prom Night.
Oh, really?
And I'm conflating the two songs together. I left my prom dress in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so hiking in the rain. I mean, I feel like it's dependent on where we are, what kind of rain it is.
Yeah.
Because it's Hawaii rain that's really lovely and pleasant and feels nice.
Sure.
When it isn't torrential. That's one kind of rain.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, it's not that kind of rain.
No.
Mostly it's...
It's cold.
When it's cold and windy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a woof.
Mm-hmm. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
I mean, right now, upon recording this, mm-hmm. It is that month.
It's true. And upon release.
And upon release.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like we have pretty much lucked out when it comes to weather. Not really been in situations that have been so awful, but we have had two kind of really crummy rainy days that we've had to deal with, and it happens. That's life. Just not my favorite thing. It's that and extreme heat. I'm no, least favorite hiking,
and waiting.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And people who don't thoroughly communicate.
Yeah, communication.
Uh-huh. People who aren't on time.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes. I mean, I could just keep going.
Yeah, here's my
on a
list
of things that
give you ire,
yeah. Make you annoyed.
Yeah,
that make you go pathetic.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that also is aggravating when it comes to rain hiking is when the weatherman is just oh yeah, it's gonna rain for 10 minutes at 7 a.m. and that is a complete and utter falsehood.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's when my boyfriend lies to me.
Mm-hmm. Even the weatherman gets caught in the rain sometimes. Mm-hmm.
It's true. That is an actual lyric.
That is a lyric from a Lake Street Dive song.
Yeah.
Since we're doing that.
Yeah, since we're doing lyrics.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting the land also known as Shenandoah National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Manahoac people.
So this is a bit of a rare episode because we just did this hike.
We actually kind of flirted with the idea of doing like an on-the-scene sort of reporting style episode, which we hadn't done, we have not done in quite some time.
Yeah.
We actually had all of the equipment with us.
Right.
There was a failure to launch when
there
it came
was.
To
and
recording.
There was some, there were some technical things and also just generally some kind of like some personal energy things mm-hmm. that got in the way, I would mm-hmm. say, of making that happen.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
It is. But we did. We hiked this 2 weekends ago.
That's right.
So,
2 weekends ago.
Yeah.
You're getting it real fresh, everybody.
It's super fresh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we both live in New Jersey. New Jersey is only about 5 hours from Shenandoah, give or take.
Depends on where in Shenandoah you're headed. It could be a little less, could be a little bit more, but we were sort of headed to the middle of the park area.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we left New Jersey on Friday around 3 p.m. and headed down to Shenandoah.
I guess we should say welcome back, Shenandoah. It's been a minute. We
right.
actually haven't talked about Shenandoah National Park on the show since our second season.
That's right,
which is
season two.
Wild to me that it was season two, because there's a lot of time that happened in between, obviously then and now, but also it felt like it could be yesterday.
Yeah.
Shenandoah is also, as much as we are big lovers of Acadia, Shenandoah is the closest national park to us. And it is now the park that we have visited the most. I think this
is
our fourth trip to Shenandoah.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
And we've only been to Acadia 3 times now. So yeah. it has been surpassed, Acadia.
It has. Mm-hmm. Shenandoah is a park we've gone to a lot, and I'm sure we'll go to many more times.
Because girls
it's
and
very
guys,
easy
there's
for us.
So much out there in
yeah.
Shenandoah. You can like...
Girls,
like any-
gays, and theys. There is so much to do in Shenandoah.
It's true. And it's the park is very, very long. So there are so many areas. Really, at this point, we have only been to kind of the top section of Shenandoah Central. And
yeah.
we've done the central section now 3 times. There's still
Shenandoah
stuff to do.
Shenandoah is a park that runs north to south, and it is in Virginia. Technically, it's federal land that's encapsulated inside of the state land that is also known as Virginia. There's a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
Shenandoah, it's got a northeastern mountain range, and like most other northeastern mountain ranges, the peaks aren't that high.
No.
It's more of just like sweeping vastness and sprawling mm-hmm. than it is like tall peaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's completely a different experience than hiking anything in the West, like the Rockies, the Tetons, the Glacier, the Olympics,
yep.
the Sierra Nevadas, the Chisos mm-hmm. down in Texas. All of that is a totally different experience than...
Girl, you better know your North American mountain ranges.
What did I say? I said that in season one.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And now
so
we do.
So now we're headed back to Shenandoah, mm-hmm. and we did this 2 weeks ago. The drive down was as expected. We did hit some traffic in D.C. on the way there, but we arrived around 9 p.m. on Friday night. Now, we did something this time that we haven't done before,
right.
which was kind of exciting, which we previously, when it came to accommodations and things like, you know, we do camp, we do stay in Airbnb sometimes, and we had stayed in some Airbnbs in and around Shenandoah before, but this time we wanted to try something new, and we wanted to try, I guess, what they call it on the internet, glamping.
Right.
Glamping, which is sort of a glamorous type of camping,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of campgrounds now offer.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, we've never done it. It'll be a fun experience. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
So we stayed at the Spacious Skies campground. It's technically called Spacious Skies Shenandoah Views. It's located near Luray,
which we have stayed in before.
We have stayed in Luray before, and Luray is one of is a little town near Shenandoah National Park. There are many little towns near Shenandoah National Park, but that's the little funky artsy one that we like a lot. We've been there before. Let's talk about where we stayed when we were at Spacious Skies Campground.
So we stayed in a yurt, which we had not done before. Now, I had a friend who had stayed in a yurt, and she was like, oh, yeah, you're doing that? Well, have fun. And I didn't tell you any of this beforehand.
Oh.
She had not a great experience in her yurt. That was not our experience
not
at all.
At all.
No.
This was a wonderful experience.
It was. So the Spacious Skies campground that we stayed at was mostly RV. Like, truly, it is like, at least the location in Luray has a very heavy RV presence. And they were sort of up the hill. And there is a small camping section. I would say there were like 10 campsites, maybe. And then 3 or 4 individual yurts. And then there was one group yurt, I guess, if you were staying with a large party. We didn't see that. That was near the...
a lot of people.
Yeah, that was near the RV section. So we got in late. We called ahead for late check-in. The yurt was basically essentially up on, like, it was stilted, essentially. It was raised off the ground. So we had to travel upstairs and onto a porch. A yurt is basically, it's kind of like a permanent tent structure is the best way. If you're unfamiliar with what a yurt is, it's got solid walls on the inside.
Well, the walls are made of the frame. It's framed with wood. However, the walls are like a permanent fabric, like situation.
Right, but on the inside there were actual solid walls.
Oh yeah, that's yeah, and like a door that locks and like a hole. And inside, there were real walls.
Yes,
inside.
There were real walls. It was incredibly comfortable. Like the yurt itself was, I was actually surprised at how large it was. They had set up 2 beds for us. There were 2 chairs in the yurt. There was a small kitchen area, a full bathroom.
That had like a mini fridge and a microwave and like, and then around the corner, like in the yurt was a full bathroom.
Yeah.
Which like a lot of, some yurts don't have that.
Right.
And these did. And it was really great because it had a shower, sink, toilet, like the whole nine when it came to the bathroom. And then they had lots of like hooks along the walls, like around the yurt to like hang bags and to hang clothes or to hang towels or to hang whatever. And so, a super comfortable experience. This is way closer to like a hotel experience than it is like a tent experience.
It was glamping for sure.
It like, was glamping bordering hotel.
Yeah.
Like feel.
But also something like very interesting to try. And I'm glad that we had the opportunity to do it because it did provide sort of this just very different experience that we have not had before.
Yeah. It also had AC.
It had a micro splitter in there, which is like a unit that does AC and heat.
That's right. And there were moments where we needed the AC. There were moments where we needed the heat.
Yeah.
And it was great. And it worked well.
We had it all.
We really did have it all. Generally, the vibe at this campground was wonderful.
Yeah.
There was a swimming pool. Swimming pool wasn't open yet. It wasn't warm enough.
No.
There was a little camp store. There were also like farm animals around.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
There were some llamas and sheep.
Some llamas going. It was great. It was great. We loved it. And we had a wonderful time here.
Yeah.
We would definitely stay here again and we highly recommend.
Yeah. After we geeked out on the yurt for a little bit, we headed to bed because the plan was to get up early and to hike. We had kind of dog-eared a few things. This was a very quick trip. We were really just down for Saturday and then we were kind of turning around to head back. It was like a nice little jaunt for the day. And unfortunately, when we woke up that morning, rain was a little bit more present in the forecast than we had anticipated.
It was. And it was one of those things where it's like, it looks like it's only going to rain, but only for a little bit. So we knew we would be dealing with some rain. The other great part about Spacious Skies was that it was very close to the park entrance. So that morning, we packed up our stuff, we put it in the car, we headed to the park entrance. And it only took us
like 20 to 25 minutes, if
super quick.
Yeah. I mean, that was the joy of staying in Luray when we were there the first time, which you'll hear about in our future Shenandoah episodes after this one. It was just nice to have that as a gateway community into the park. It's definitely a little gray as we're heading out and heading into the park. Our first hike that we had planned to hike that day was Mary's Rock. That had been something that had been recommended to us by rangers, by other people. We were really very curious about what that experience was going to be like, considering like we've hiked some nice things up on Skyline Drive and gotten some incredible views of the valleys below the park. So this was something that was like, let's do this first, and then we have another hike that we can do after that we'll have to do a little driving to get to.
So we pulled into the park entrance. We renewed at Thornton Gap. We renewed our America the Beautiful pass.
Well, we couldn't find ours.
So we had to renew it. And it was due for renewal.
It was due for renewal
and
that month.
So we got it. We drove up Skyline Drive a bit. And we headed to the Pinnacles campground, which is...
Well, the Pinnacles picnic area.
That's what I mean to say. The Pinnacles picnic area, which is where the trailhead, or one of the trailheads for Mary's Rock is. There's a few ways to get to Mary's Rock here in Shenandoah.
This was sort of the recommended path.
Also a common thing for Shenandoah to be like, here's this thing. There are multiple ways to get here from different places. So yeah, it was recommended to us to go from the Pinnacles picnic area.
Yeah.
We parked, we got out, we geared up, and we got on the trail.
And with that, let's take our first break.
During the months of May and June, we are highlighting the work of LGBT plus outdoors in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
LGBT plus outdoors mission is all about connecting members of the LGBTQ plus community through the outdoors, strengthening the ties of the community, and fostering a love of the outdoors while doing so.
Along with creating community among queer outdoor adventure seekers, LGBT plus outdoors seeks to break down stereotypes and remove barriers for the LGBTQ plus community in what is traditionally a heteronormative outdoor industry. LGBT plus outdoors is committed to not only this, but sustainability practices in the outdoors, including environmental stewardship, inclusivity and accessibility, and collaborative partnerships.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support LGBT plus outdoors this May and June. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Or go to www.lgbtoutdoors.com/donation form. All right, we're playing adjective, noun, verb.
We are.
This is a game you created.
I did. And it's an alliterative game.
It's an alliterative game. It's so alliterative. And in this game, you come up with three words. There's an adjective, a noun, and a verb.
Right.
And then they're doing the things that they do. They're adjectiving, they're nouning, they're verbing.
They're and, nouning like a nunning.
And they have all the same sound or letter. Because that is apparently what alliterative means now. We've been corrected.
Now, I like that it was just the new definition.
Well, apparently so. Apparently. I've accepted it as the new definition. I argue that alliteration is sound. Mike argued that it was the letter.
It's letter.
And I say it's sound, which is why I would say, you know, like if Jennifer Goodwin was jumping, Jennifer jumping is alliterative, even though Jennifer Goodwin spells it with a G. It's still alliterative. And you would say it's not because she spells it with a G. But alliteration technically means...
Jennifer Goodwin.
Alliteration technically means sound and letter. So sound and or letter. So here we go. All right. Because we're hiking Mary's Rock in this episode, we've each come up with two. One is M's, a repeat of M's, and then one is a repeat of R's.
Yep, it's true.
Why don't you get us started?
Okay. Evil prestidigitators killing.
I've suddenly forgotten what prestidigitators are. Aren't they speakers? They're not people who stand at pulpits?
Substitutionary locomotion. Nope.
No, nothing.
Oh. I'm
going to ask you for a little more space.
Substitutionary locomotion.
Well, it's mean.
Triguna Mercortizans Tricorum Satisti.
You're singing songs to me that I've never heard in my life.
You have heard.
I haven't heard that. I'm a little disappointed. I don't know that.
Angela Lansbury would be disappointed in you.
Oh, is it magicians?
Yeah.
Okay, so is it mean magicians murdering?
Malevolent magicians murdering.
Malevolent.
Malevolent.
Great. Yeah. Okay, great. So for my M1, here we go. Cruel vermin chopping onions.
Mean mice mincing.
That's right. Okay, great. So for your R.
The blanket was mice. For my R. Wondrous lemurs with a striped appendage stealing things.
Is it rapturous ringtail lemurs?
Well, you can just say ringtails.
Ringtails. Robbing.
It's not rapturous. It's resplendent.
Oh, resplendent. Yeah. Got it.
But yeah.
Great. Okay.
Rapturous.
Okay. Here we go. Annoyed and energized, blackbirds taking the piss out of each other.
Is it ragey ravens?
And then taking the piss out of each other in a formal way from a dais.
Ragey ravens. Huh. I don't know the last one.
We were looking for riled up.
Okay.
Ravens. Roasting.
You'll have to excuse my barn voice because I am riled up.
Exactly. All right. So we are on the Mary's Rock Trail officially now. Mm-hmm. And it's a 6.7 mile there and back. That's mm-hmm. inclusive of all the miles there.
Yeah.
It's a cumulative 1,400 foot elevation gain. The trail is sort of in like four parts. Mm-hmm. There's the intro, the first ascent, the descent, and the final ascent to the top.
Yeah.
So this was a trail that actually involved two ascents.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like ascend all the way up to the top and then come all the way back down. Mm-hmm. It's like go up, go down, lose all your elevation, and then
go up again.
Go up again and get to the top. On the way back, we would have one ascent, but on the way out, we're going to have two. So the intro, this is only about 0.3 miles long.
Yeah.
So we head out from the parking lot and immediately a few things.
It's cold.
It's rainy.
So cold.
And like, it's windy.
And it's windy. And I think we anticipated Skyline Drive being a little bit more in bloom, and nothing was in bloom.
No, not yet. Not yet.
I was like very firmly like, oh yeah, remember there's elevation here, so this is not going to bloom like it is going to be down in the valleys of Virginia.
Right.
It was also like, oh, Mike, you didn't bring gloves. Thank God you have a pair in your car all the time.
Yeah. I did smartly bring my gloves because last time we were in Shenandoah, which you'll hear about in a few episodes, I forgot my gloves.
Mm-hmm.
It was a torturous experience.
It was.
I have always now, when it comes to that park in particular, always have gloves.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
she wronged you.
Many times.
Yeah.
And so we make some jokes at this moment because we're like, we could be cozy girls still in bed right now.
Yeah.
But we're here.
But we're here.
Hiking at 7:30 a.m. in the wind, rainy, cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
Rain jackets and all.
Yeah. So the first part of the trail was pretty flat along the parking lot and parallel to kind of the roadway for a bit. There were some trees between the trail and Skyline Drive during this section, but the road was still pretty visible here. You also had some views off to the side, to the left, minimally at this point, because the trees were kind of thick, kind of seeing into the mountainous area of the park.
Soon off to the right, we see another parking area. This is clearly like another section where one could park and start the trail to Mary's Rock or a number of other places. We make a note of that as we were walking. And then that was the first time that the trail changed to what we're calling the curved bend.
So after seeing the parking lot off to the right, the trail ended up curving around a bend which hugged a hillside, and this is where we get a little bit of descent. It's not a heavy descent yet. There is a field to the left.
I would say it was like waist high, some kind of growth. I don't know what it was, but it was about waist high.
Yeah.
And it was like sprawling across the field, and like we could see the mountains in the distance behind it.
This doesn't last long because off to the left, it's a lot of mountainous landscape. And since Shenandoah is a mountain range in the Northeast, its peaks are on par with other Northeast mountain ranges, not the tallest, as we said earlier. But the ranges tend to be sprawling, and Shenandoah does sprawl across Virginia. Sonia in a very big sort of way. So we're able to see kind of like the inner kind of like curvature of the mountain range and some other like ridges as they're coming out. So you kind of like are seeing it all splayed out before you as we're hiking.
So this bend leads us back into the woods. That is where the first ascent begins. So we've only gone 0.3 miles at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start to make our way uphill. The uphill is gradual.
Mm-hmm.
And we noticed that immediately. We were like, okay, if the uphill is like this the whole way,
yeah,
not so bad.
No.
We don't mind. It's a wide trail. It's mostly dirt and stone along the way. And it wasn't too bad on the feet.
No, this was definitely not like the ankle twister trails that we'd been on before in the park. One thing that I was noticing, as I said before, not a lot was in bloom, but you had stuff low to the ground was starting to come up. So you had like very like early spring flowers. So I was just like taking as many photos as I could and a lot of like mossy things and mushroomy things.
What kinds of trees were we seeing along this trail?
I do not know.
Definitely some evergreens happening.
Yeah, but it was more deciduous than I think it was evergreen.
Deciduous, yeah.
Yeah, you got me, especially since nothing was out as far as the leaves go.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of leaves out.
Yeah.
There were some. There were some.
Minimal.
So this section of the trail is only this ascent on the way out is 0.8 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to take us to like 1.1 miles in total.
Yeah.
We keep going. We climb this 300-ish elevation gain. It really isn't so bad.
No.
It definitely looked harder on the map.
At 1.1 miles, the trail turns downward. So this is where, if you're looking at the trail, like in an elevation sense, this is a very deep descent. Like this is like, oh, any elevation you've gained, you're actually losing it and then some. So, you know, we just start that trek downward. You know, occasionally along the way, we're seeing the trail markers, which are very specific to Shenandoah, which are like a concrete post that has like a dugout section at the top with a tin wrapped, like, it's very, I need to kind of dive deep into this because it's a fascinating way to mark a trail. It's like a tin or metal wrapping that goes around the section like a collar, and like printed in metal, like embossed in the metal, is like this trail this way in like size 8 font.
It is true. I do have to say, though, I'm sure it makes it pretty easy to update them.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure like it doesn't take much to be like, mm-mm, we need to add this here.
Yeah.
We need to, like, let's have one reprinted or a band reprinted.
Yeah.
You know, rather than like undoing an entire sign and redoing an entire sign.
But it is very, in all the parks we've been to, I've never seen trail markers like I've seen in Shenandoah.
It's true.
It is.
It's true. The other thing about this trail is that the way that we were going, we were on the Appalachian Trail basically the whole time.
A lot of white blazes, basically.
Yeah, which is the famous color for the Appalachian Trail blaze, is a white blaze on the trees.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Shenandoah hikes where, and you'll hear more about that again, future episodes, where we were on the AT for part of it or a good portion of it. This, you know, Shenandoah has, I think, I'm going to make this claim, I think it has, of any national park, the most amount of Appalachian Trail in it.
That's a great question, and I don't know if that's true, but I know it has quite a lot.
It does.
It has quite a lot because it runs south to north.
Mm-hmm.
Appalachian Trail is going in that direction the whole time. I know the Smokies has got a lot.
Yeah.
And the Smokies is
That's big. True. That's true.
So I don't know.
Maybe I just like falsely claim things.
Well, you know what? Wouldn't be the first
time. Roll the dice here.
That's right.
Yeah.
We pass some AT hikers along the way. We also see some AT hiker like camp shelters along the way. There were some tents set up. We made sure to be nice and quiet because it was like
still
8
early.
In the morning point in time. But finally, not too long after these AT shelters, the final ascent begins.
Yeah.
The trail turns back up and we start heading up again.
Yeah. This is a little bit more, I felt like this was a little bit more grunty. It's not as much of a distance here. Felt more grunty at this point. There were some other hikers we saw along the way, and we saw a large family of adults that were hiking with a dog, and we said hello. They were kind of, they were swimming against our tide, or they were coming down as we were headed up, and we kind of were just keeping an eye on our tracker because we knew we were getting close to what Mary's Rock, whatever that was going to be.
Yeah, and I agree with you. There were definitely, in this particular section, there were definitely some parts that felt steep, some mm-hmm. parts where it was like, okay, I'm like heave-hoeing my way up onto this boulder, onto this rock to get to the next bit of trail.
Yeah. So finally, we arrive at the trail marker post, which read Mary's Rock Summit this way. This is where it kind of feels like, oh, we're here, right? But no, you're actually not. There's still a little bit more to go when it feels like you might be at the peak.
And with that, let's take our next break. All right, it's time for Drag Corner.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Manny Petty.
Manny Petty.
Okay, to me, obviously, we could go the route of, like, you know, manicure, pedicure here.
Oh, that's not where I was thinking.
Not where I'm going either. No. If your last name is Petty, uh-huh. you are the high priestess of pettiness.
I don't know that Tom Petty really wore that mantle, but he could have.
But we didn't know Tom Petty. We only knew Tom
Speak
Petty.
Speak for yourself.
You knew him biblically.
I didn't know him biblically. This has become like After Dark podcast behind the music over
that's
here.
That's right. No, but we don't know Tom mm-hmm. Petty. He could have been high key Petty, as the kids say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Also,
I inspired the song Don't Back Down.
That's it. That's right. Yeah. Don't Back Down. Mm-hmm. And then you just retooled it and rebranded it and called it Stay With Me by Sam Smith.
Yep, that's it.
So, okay, man.
So who's Petty now, girl?
Who's Petty now? Well, I mean, Tom Petty did sue Sam Smith over that song in order to get, like, writing rights to that song, which makes sense because they're the same song. It's like the same melody for that chorus, girl. Sam Smith, you know that. Mm-hmm. You knew that. Anyway, I do, however, I don't know why we're talking about this now, but I do think that song was written in earnest. It absolutely shares that melody.
Yeah.
It's not, y'all, there are only 8 notes. You know what I mean? Yeah, they're flats. Yes, they're whatever. But what I'm saying is, like, repeated melodies are going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so if we have laws that are protecting, you know, like the groupings and melodies, like, I get it. I get why people are like, nope, wrote that.
Yeah.
Already. And I have the copyright to that melody. You know what I mean? I got it. Whatever.
Tangenting. Anyway.
Back to Manny Petty. Mm-hmm. So, high priestess of Petty.
Yeah, absolutely. Serving Petty on a silver platter.
Oh, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. On a platinum platter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if platters are platinum.
It's probably poisonous.
Platinum. I don't know.
Platinum. Platinum.
That's it.
Yeah, but okay, I think
so
it's just
the aesthetic?
Like... that's a great question. I was just going to say, I think she's a diss track queen. Like, it's all just like the songs are like their diss tracks. Like that song, not that I, you know, pay much attention to
like a
to
diss
her.
Track.
Yeah, like a diss track.
D-I-S
track. Yeah. Oh. Like, what's that song from on Tortured Poets?
Thank You, Amy.
Yeah, Thank You, Amy. Mm-hmm. And there's this whole like Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef.
Yeah, that, You Ought to like, Know is the diss track.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know. I mean, I know there's that beef, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, I feel like that's all her music is that.
I love that.
Diss track. Like lip syncs.
For the record, you said diss track, and I envision D-I-S-C, like disc track.
Oh, disc
and
track.
And I was like...
yeah, they're
what,
all disc
what
tracks.
What track isn't a disc track? Anyway, because for us, all music comes on discs. Everybody. That's right. My Discman. Mm-hmm. I had one.
My Discman.
You had one too.
I did.
You did. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I love that. And I'm trying to think like, yeah. So Manny Petty is definitely...
Oh, I know what the aesthetic is.
Saying the quiet part loud all the
time.
The
aesthetic is like, I am going to dress as the person I'm mocking in the song.
Oh.
That's what's happening.
Oh, it's like that level of Petty. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love and respect that. It's literally taking pettiness
mm-hmm.
and turning it into artwork.
It's, yeah.
It's elevating pettiness to a level of an art form.
Mm-hmm.
And I live for that.
Mm-hmm.
Mani Pedi would be my favorite queen.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Does she have merch?
Yes. But it would have to be like, it would all be extremely related to whoever she's dissing that night.
It's true.
So if like, for example, okay, so like if she's doing You're So Vain by Carly Simon.
And the Warren Beatty related things.
Right. Mm-hmm. Some, like if Warren Beatty had done like some kind of like product deal with this one product,
mm-hmm.
then it would be products of the like competitor.
Got
or
it.
Something like that. Like it would be deeply intentional pettiness
sure.
at every turn.
Sure.
Every stone is unturned.
So if Warren Beatty was representing Pepsi, she would be serving Coke products.
Correct.
Or vice versa.
Exactly. Or got vice it. Versa. Right. I mean,
is Pepsi okay?
No, I was not. Just going to say, you know, polluting the planet at every turn.
Yep.
But I feel like, yeah. And then maybe like, I can't even think of like movies that Warren Beatty has been in right now.
Wasn't Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy?
Yeah.
Maybe there's like, I don't know.
That's all I have.
That, right. Maybe there's like, it's Dick Tracy posters, but it's like only the ones that only Madonna was in or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all high key petty mm-hmm. at every turn. I love it. I'm here for Mani Pedi.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to be a queen
yeah.
now and well, do shows.
And that little girl was you.
I don't know. I think that little girl might be you.
I know. So, ladies and gentlemen, what thems, welcome to the stage, Mani Pedi. From the final trail marker post, we had a few hundred feet up start to climb towards Mary's Rock and finally get to what is the summit.
And holy Mary,
mm-hmm.
there was these views.
This was one of those moments where it was like when we were hiking the South Rim Trail. It was like when we were on Sliding Sands where the cloud, it was like when we were on the top of Mount Camerer in
yes.
Smokies. The cloud play that was happening here.
Incredible.
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 Like low hanging clouds. The rain had stopped.
It looked like the Smokies here.
It looked like the Smokies. It was quite literally beautiful. Like cloud play.
Sweeping mountains mm-hmm. to the right, sweeping mountains to the left. Green mountains of
yeah.
different varying greens.
Yeah.
The sky was like gray, blue,
steely.
White, steely. And then you had these lower clouds sitting and like dotting different parts of it. I mean, it was a gorgeous view.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
Gorgeous view.
It was very cool.
There were lots of boulders up here. Like yeah. It was like a boulder piling and people were sitting and hanging out. There were quite a few young folks up here at this time.
I love that you wrote young folks.
They were.
That makes it sound
kids.
So old.
Oh, does it?
The young folks.
We just had a whole thing where we talked about how our music came on discs.
Well, that was you talking about it, not me.
Oh, I see. Now, okay, now we're separating it
now
out.
Now you're the old one.
Okay.
But yes, there were some younger people that were here. They were college-aged kids.
There were some young folks here.
Seriously.
They were college-aged people.
Uh-huh. Yes. And we were chatting with a few of the guys from the group. They like immediately launched, like we literally got to the top and they immediately launched into conversation with us. And they're like, hey, how are you?
How
like,
was your hike?
How have you been here
go?
Before?
It was great
yeah.
to chat with them.
But
they were
like,
wonderful.
They were like, yeah, we're from JMU, James Madison University, which Harrisonburg, which is where JMU is not far.
And they had a little hiking group that they were a part of that they had mentioned that they come to Shenandoah like once a week to hike. To
yeah, and but I think it's only very recently that they've been doing it because
yeah.
they were like, oh, have you hiked this? And we're like, oh, yeah, it's great. And like we were just like going through things that we had hiked in the park. Oh, we'll have to check that out. Thanks.
Yeah.
But they were super cool.
Super
and we chatted
cool.
with them for a bit.
Then they headed back down and we hung out for a bit and just ate our sandwiches.
Yeah, and this is where Mike also is like, oh, I'm going to climb up to the top of that. And you're like, I'm good. Thanks.
Well, I had climbed up to the top of it and sat up there for a second and took some photos while y'all were still chatting. And then I came back down.
Oh, okay.
We then turned around and we started to head back down because mm-hmm. we were like, you know what? It's time. Let's do it.
Yeah.
The way back down felt a lot faster, at least like because we were now going to face two descents and one ascent.
Right.
So we're on the first descent super quick.
Mm-hmm.
We like flew through this.
Yeah. After about 1.4 miles down, there were some brief spurts of uphill. We made it to the only true ascent that we had on the way back. Now, this was an ascent. This was the heavy ascent for the trail.
I agree.
Yeah.
This one had us cussing a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, again, it's Shenandoah. It's not crazy elevation gain or loss here, but it definitely was the biggest ascent we were going to have to tackle.
And there was more heave-ho. Thank God I had my poles.
Yep.
Get onto a rock,
which
make
I brought.
Your way up.
You're like, oh, did you bring your poles? And I was like, yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, thank
and
goodness.
I did use, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, always.
So we passed the Appalachian Trail camp shelter again.
Mm-hmm.
The tents were gone. Now we did take a moment to go like, oh, I wonder if we ran into those folks.
I think we did probably see a few people. You know, we did run into a bunch of AT people on the way back. Mm-hmm. And probably some of them were absolutely camping at those campsites.
But we kept trekking along because we were like, I'm so ready to be done with this ascent.
Well, because here's the thing too. So the weather said the rain would be literally for like 30 minutes when we started hiking. And we got to the top of Mary's Rock and it was clear and the rain had pretty much stopped. Even like before we were close to the summit, it had stopped. And then we were hiking back and it was like, no, it's going to rain some more.
Oh,
and it's still very cold.
And it still did.
Yeah.
And it was just enough to be like annoying and plan foiling.
Yeah.
So we made our way over the crest finally of like the
peak of the ascent.
The peak of the ascent. And we start the descent, mm-hmm. which I agree, this descent also the rougher of the two descents mm-hmm. down.
Yeah.
We're headed back down. It didn't feel this bad coming up, but heading down it was a little annoying too.
Yeah.
And by the time we're doing this, and it was like raining very, very hard now.
Yeah. Heavily.
Like, we're both
even mad. With our rain jackets, we were both pretty soaked through. Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
So we make our way down this descent. We get to the curved bend again. We have a bit of a moment where we're like, oh, wait.
Did we go straight?
Did we
or
turn?
Did we come down the hill here?
But luckily, we just were like, let's just go straight. I think that's what we're supposed to do. And we were correct.
If we had gone up that curved bend, we would have hit that second parking lot that we saw on our way out. So it would have eventually gotten us to the same place.
The same place, yeah.
But yeah.
So we get back to like that first intersection of the trail. Yeah. Raining hard. We're both totally soaking wet. We're cussing. And we finally get back to the car.
Right. This was a moment of...
we took off our wet layers.
I think we disrobed our wet layers.
As you like to say, we slowly began to disrobe.
Our wet layers.
Your use of the word disrobe.
We were sitting in the car and you were like, okay, Vito, we're done. Like you were Danny DeVito herself.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I think it's Danny the Vito.
Or Dina DeVito. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I said, how do you feel? And you were doing like your Libra waffling thing. And you were like, I could do it. I'm also okay with not. And I'm like, okay, this is a non-answer. And I was like, my feeling is I'm soaking wet. I don't want to put on wet clothes again, Vito. And you were like, okay. So great. We're just going to go back to spacious skies and get in our yurt and
get cozy
and like rest and take naps. And that is exactly what we did. All right, let's put the Mary's Rock Trail from the Pinnacles picnic area on the Karen Stone scale.
I'm going to say, for me, this is a 4. I feel like it was a good hike. It didn't feel, I think the rain was the thing that just like threw off like how I ultimately felt about like that day. But it wasn't I'd like say 4, bordering on 5 for me. Like it didn't feel super duper tough. Like I don't feel like it's over that 5 mark for me.
I feel like it's 5 for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly because the way back.
Yeah.
I think it is a fascinating thing always when the way out feels one way and the way back mm-hmm. feels another. The way out to me felt like a 3 and the okay. way back to me felt like a 5.
Mm-hmm.
I could average it at a 4, but sure. I'm not. I'm giving it a 5.
Okay. Great. So a 9.
A 9 out of 20 Karen Stones.
Great. And so let's end this episode like we do all of our full trail episodes with some Jeopardy style trivia.
All right, Mike, why don't you get us started with your category today?
Great. My title of this Jeopardy is called Mary's Rock, and this is all about queer male singers.
Great.
Because they're Mary's.
I'm so ready for this. Okay, great.
Great. For 100. This Mary, who could most certainly get it, has the songs Somebody to Love, One More Try, Last Christmas, and Careless Whisper. You might also remember him from being hot with his Come Hither stare in that music video for his song Freedom 90.
Okay, who's George Michael?
Correct.
Did he sing Somebody to Love? That's Queen.
Apparently he has a song called Somebody to Love. I was trying to pick some offbeat songs too.
Oh, so you just picked a song that another Mary sings from
No. That's one of his songs. I think he can also have
kidding.
A song
I'm
called...
just accusing you of being yeah. intentionally mm-hmm. confused.
I'm not Sam Smith. All right. For 200.
Who is Sam Smith?
This Mary, now deceased, is known for the songs Radio Gaga, Death on Two Legs, and Crazy Little Thing Called Love. He was played by Rami Malek in the film about his life and band.
Who is Freddie Mercury?
Correct.
Yeah. Though I'm like, I don't. Who is Harry Styles for all I know? I don't know. I don't think Harry Styles is a Mary.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
Okay.
I'm joking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, great. Neither do I. Okay, for 300. This Mary, who was a 90s heartthrob, is famous for the songs Nobody Wants to Be Lonely, She's All I Ever Had, and Shake Your Bon Bon. Though he was more famous as an adult singer, he was part of the boy band Menudo as a youth.
Who is my current boyfriend, Ricky Martin?
That's correct.
That's mm-hmm. right.
All right. For 400. This Mary, who's burst onto the scene recently, has songs such as Angel Baby, Get Me Started, One of Your Girls, and this gay anthem, Rush. He was also recently parodied on SNL, played by Timothy Chalamet.
Who is Troye Sivan?
That's correct. And for 500. This Mary, a Canadian-American singer, is known for songs like Oh What a World, Cigarettes and Chocolate Milk, and The Art Teacher. That being said, his most known song might be a cover of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah.
Who is Jeff Buckley?
Incorrect.
Who is Sufjan?
No.
No, who is it? I don't know.
Who is Rufus Wainwright?
Oh, Rufus Wainwright, who famously recreated all of Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall.
Mm.
Judy Garland had a very famous concert at Carnegie Hall. That was like unbelievable, this concert. And it is on tape. And she made an album. And Rufus Wainwright recorded. He did his own version of that entire album.
Oh, his name's hard to say.
Rufus Wainwright. Yeah.
Say it fast.
I know. Okay.
Great. And that's Mary's Rock.
Great. Okay. So my category is called Mary's Rock. And it takes the term Mary, meaning a gay man.
No.
Yes. And it's all about other slang terms for gay men from
Great.
The old times.
From the old times.
From the old times.
From the young folks.
From the young folks. So we use this term all the time, referring to ourselves, referring to each other.
Referring the term, to singers.
The term Mary, mm-hmm. right? Which is... It's like, I wouldn't necessarily say that our generation of gay men necessarily use that term all the time,
Mm-mm.
but it's something that the generations before us used and one that we've said, oh, I want to adopt that
Co-opt.
because I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So These are other terms for queer men or gay men that were used back in the day. Some of these are from the language Polari, which was used, which was a secret language so that ones that people could talk to each other and know, like, if someone was gay or not out loud without getting caught, because this was during a time where it was
illegal
and criminal to be gay, where that's still true in some countries in this world.
And maybe here again. There's that darkness. There's that darkness.
Honey, ride the wave of the good feelings that you got earlier today. All right. So for 100, this term for a gay man is often attributed to the culture's adoration of Judy Garland. However, it's more accurately a term gay men use to refer to themselves to get into New York parties when they were invited by the New York-based poet and writer whose last name was Parker.
What is Friend of Dorothy?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Friend of Dorothy. So that is a term that people associate, meaning like, oh, Dorothy, like Dorothy Gale, like Judy Garland, because Judy Garland is adored.
A queer mother.
Judy Garland is mother, right? When people are like, oh my God, Ariana Grande is mother. And I'm like, oh, let's not overuse the word mother yet. Not that she can't get there.
Sure.
Right. But Judy Garland is mother. Right. Whitney Houston is mother. Okay. For 200, this slang term refers specifically to femininity and is associated with characters like Ariel from The Tempest, Oberon from A Midsummer Night's Dream, and Tinkerbell from Peter Pan.
What is a fairy?
That's right. For 300, this gay slang term is not a meat or a starch or a vegetable.
What's a fruit?
That's right. For 400, this term is derived from the garden, specifically a flower that appears mostly violet and sometimes yellow.
What's a pansy?
That's right. So for the record, these are terms that were sometimes thrown around to be derogatory that have also been like reframed, recontextualized, and re-owned by the community. And for 500, this slang term for a gay man could also be confused with a sturdy pillow where one may sit or put their feet up.
What's a poof?
That is correct. That is correct. Or the British version of that, a poofter. I'm going to say that again. A poofta or a poofter. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. And that's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey.